continue our series entitled Living Proverbs. And the title of today's message is Wisdom and Relationships. Now, I don't know about you, but relationships demand wisdom if we're going to live a healthy and a strong life. Because we know this, lives are destroyed by unwise relationships. Can you think of any trauma in your life that was greater than your trauma in relationships with others? We have so many trials in this life, but many lives are destroyed because of unwise relationships. Some of the fiercest storms in life are unhealthy relationships. And you say, Pastor, what do you mean by unhealthy relationships? Let me tell you, any relationship can turn a corner into an unhealthy position. So here, all relationships need, can you say that word with me? Wisdom. See, God has come with this wonderful ability to give us this tool called His wisdom for us to apply in how we build relationships. And as we've talked about the Word of God being living, we look at this title of the series, Living Proverbs, because we know Proverbs sitting at a distance will not impact our steps. But if we understand it as the very breath of God, we understand that it isn't just, again, something to be stored in our minds, but something to be lived out in our steps. And the calibrating power of living Proverbs is available to us every day. And we look at something that most, I would say every musician has an understanding of. Harmony is lost without calibration. Years ago, I felt like I want to play an instrument. And one of the things you understand when you start playing an instrument is that an instrument is no good if it's out of what? Out of tune. And I remember first learning how to play guitar. And for me, listening to the notes, I know when it's right. But for me to just say that is a G note or an E note, I couldn't tell you that. So when I started playing guitar, I needed this tool called a tuner. And back in the day, I remember looking around for music stores in Columbia, and there used to be a music store right down here at the print building. I don't know if any of you guys remember that, and I think I probably have the name wrong. Something about Johnson Music Store kind of stands out to me. But I remember going in that music store and buying my first guitar tuner. So when I sat down with that tuner, and it didn't look like that. It was an older style needle one that had a little microphone in it that would hear your guitar. But when I tuned my guitar, I knew it was perfectly in tune. By my ear, no, but by the meter on that tuner. And then when I heard it, I said, yes, that sounds right. And one of the things about tuning a guitar is that you can tune the top string and place a finger on a fret to follow tuning that way. It will mirror the sound of the next string if you press at the right fret. But the problem is, if that top string isn't in tune, all the other strings are not going to be where they need to be. They call it this. Most bands tune in 440 hertz. And I'm not a guy that understands all of the details of that, but I do know this, is that the hertz measure the amount of vibration per second. And so for bands, most bands will use 440 as their standard. And if everybody tunes to that same standard, it's in perfect harmony. And then years ago, my mom had a piano in the house. And I remember a man that would come from time to time to tune that piano. And that man was blind. And as he would come to tune that piano, I was curious, you know, Mom, why is he so good at that job? Because his hearing was so in step and so intense and on focus, he could tune that piano in a beautiful way. But he would also use these little tuning forks to make sure it was perfect. But he had special hearing to be able to do that. See, if we depend on our perception and our ability to know when a relationship is right, we will be set up for a fall. We see this, God's word tunes our heart daily, impacting all that touches our lives. You know, if we're out of tune, everything else in our life is going to be misstepped. It's going to be off note. But enhancing relationships through the power of Proverbs. I asked this last week, have you read Proverbs? And one of the questions is, have you taken advantage of letting Proverbs touch your life every day? Reading a proverb in a prayerful mindset so that you learn to calibrate your hearing, your actions to the tuning of God. See, I want to take a little step in that today in Proverbs 17:9. Okay, Proverbs is coming to challenge how we're tuning relationships in our lives. Because we set a course to that which feels right to us. But if we come before the Word of God, it can counter areas that we're mistaken in. Maybe we're strumming that instrument thinking this, you know, I'm in perfect tune, but God's Word will alert us to when that 440 is not there. So Proverbs 17:9. Overlook an offense, listen close, and bond a friendship. Fasten on to a slight and goodbye, friend. To read that again, overlook an offense and bond, tighten, strengthen a friendship. Fasten to a slight and goodbye, friend. How do you take something that is so negative as an offense and turn it into something that is not only positive, but building towards the positive? Something that the first response is it weakens the relationship, but if we handle it properly, God says, I can turn it around and make the relationship better. Turn a negative into a strengthening positive. How do we do that? Because each of us handle an offense differently, don't we? And sometimes we glory in the way that we handle them. We take a lot of pride in our response to a slight. How do we overlook an offense? That's going to be our main focus today. First of all, we remind ourselves that we are not perfect. When someone hurts us and says something that we don't like, our first response is to focus in on how what? How sorry they are. And we forget the fact that we have made plenty of mistakes ourselves, but we should remind ourselves that we're not perfect. Look in the mirror when the offense comes and think, what you're feeling now, how many times have you caused that to someone else? Also, how do we overlook an offense? As any believer should know, apply some mercy and grace. You know, justice and setting someone straight is what rises up sometimes when someone has slighted us. But God is calling for us to model what He does for us. A little bit of mercy and grace goes a long ways to bond a friendship. How do we overlook an offense? Refuse to deepen the offense. You know, it's kind of like this. Somebody says something that we don't like. Cut. I got this scratch on me. I don't like that. Oh, I think it's swelling up. Oh, I think it's worse. And what happens? We fixate on it. We fixate on it. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. A little scratch can turn into a gaping wound. Refuse to deepen the offense. The hurt came, yes. Don't make it more hurtful in the response. How we handle it, the offense, will determine how and if it heals. How do we overlook an offense? How about this? Guard the bond of friendship. It's so easy to destroy a relationship. But it takes some love and some real effort to strengthen a relationship. Anybody can end a relationship. Anyone can give what they got. But when pain comes and God says respond with peace and respond with love, that's something that we have to reach for a power how higher than ourselves to accomplish. When we do that, we strengthen the relationships that God has blessed our lives with. Bond friendship. By what? Overlooking an offense? Yes. Overlook an offense and bond a friendship. How do we overlook an offense? Guard against being overly defensive. Some people you can say stuff to and they're like, oh, they didn't mean anything wrong by that. I'm cool with that. And you're like, how did they handle that? But others, you said what? What do you mean by that? You know, some people are just giving you a compliment. What? They call that a defensive nature. Yeah. I still remember, and I've shared this story multiple times. What do you mean by that? I was sitting in my pastor's office it was the second church I was on staff at. And I loved the guy. He was just down-to-earth fella. And we were sitting in his office and we're talking. He looks at me, he says, Ned, he says, you're pretty defensive. What? What do you mean by that? That was my first response in my heart. I was like, what? And then God allowed that mirror to show up. My nature is when offended, I quickly defend. And you say, is that a strength? No. Righteousness is a strength. Seeking what is of God is a strength. But being overly defensive is a weakness. So I thank God for my pastor that was honest with me. Though it hurt my feelings, it made me look deeper within. Not how I was perceiving myself, but how others were perceiving me. So how do we overlook an offense? Guard against being overly defensive. Another response here when the offense comes. How do we overlook an offense? Apply, now listen closely, apply timely and needed confrontation. And it looks this way. When hurt, when slighted, sometimes the best response is be quiet. Be quiet. Not every offense demands a confrontation. Some of the strongest people in life are people that can endure an offense with their mouth shut. Did Jesus ever do that? Of course he did. But if our nature, and speaking heavily to myself, is to be defensive, we feel we're not doing our part if we don't respond. Now, I'm not saying every time, but look at what this says again. Apply timely and needed confrontation. Timely meaning if you're dealing with the heat of the situation in the middle of it being heightened, not a good time. Let some peace settle. Let a night of rest come before you get on the phone and start calling people. Right? How many times have you been irritated, slighted by someone's actions, and you were like, just, I got to talk about it now. You been there? And you get on the phone or you get on your, oh, Lord help us, don't text your confrontation. Don't do it. My son told me that once. Don't, Daddy, don't. You know, you got to listen sometimes to the young folks. Don't do it. Let a night's rest come and say, God, timely confrontation. Because there's been plenty of times I wanted to say something, ready to say something, but waited. And the next morning, God said, aren't you glad you shut your mouth? Yeah. Timely confrontation. How do we overlook an offense? Forgive as God has forgiven you. It's kind of what it boils down to, doesn't it? You know, if we want forgiveness, we got to be willing to give forgiveness to others. You know, God has that laid out so plain, and we wonder sometimes, why do I have to do something for that forgiveness to come? I want you to think about that for a minute. Unforgiveness is unrepented sin. Let me say that again. Unforgiveness is unrepented sin. And for sin to be washed away, it has to be what? Repentant. We must administer a turning from the sin. Embracing of the sin keeps the sin enthroned in our heart. And God doesn't want it there. But if we will forgive as others as God has forgiven us, what happens to that sin? We walk away from it. We say, God, not my attitude, your attitude live in me. How do we overlook an offense? This is a hard one. Let nothing rise above love. Nothing. Not my hurt. Not if I'm right or wrong. Not my reasoning of why I have this attitude towards someone. Nothing should rise above love. How do we overlook an offense if we seed in our heart nothing is going to rise above love? Do I like what happened? Do I like what was said? Do I like what was done? But I'm not going to live bitter. Man, do we see what has happened to society by bitterness? Do we? I think we do. And if it keeps living, all that's going to happen is the breakdown of society further and further and further. Let nothing rise above love. Now let's look at Proverbs 17:9 in the Amplified version. Let's look at this. He who covers and forgives an offense, look at this close, seeks love. He who covers and forgives an offense seeks love. You know, when I hear that word covers, it's not meaning sweep it under the rug. No. Because sometimes we blurt out what's in us because we think we're doing the righteous thing by saying, I ain't sweeping nothing under the rug. But covering is saying, God, your love, come and be the lead of all of this. Be the heart of all of this. Let nothing again rise above love. He who covers and forgives an offense, the very action of that is a seeking of love. But he who repeats or gossips about a matter, does this matter to us? Separates intimate friends. See, this applies in marriage. This applies to our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church. And it applies even to our perceptions of whole classes of people. Isn't that sad? If we do not handle offense correctly, our lives become tainted, our perceptions become flawed, and the very heart of God's word living in us is rejected by the word we choose to live by. We see this again. Let nothing rise above love. Let love rule over the offense. How do we overlook an offense? Because I know each of us in here have been offended, and we will be offended again. How do we overlook an offense? How about this? Stop the replays as soon as possible. You ever been there? Boom, it happens. And slighted. What happens at that point? I think about it. I dwell on it. The replays come back in my mind, and the details begin to kind of get enhanced. Now, it kind of reminds me of something that happened a number of years ago. I was watching a Carolina football game. We were playing against Michigan. And I don't know about you guys, but the helmet that Michigan has, that's classic. So when you're playing Michigan, even if they're all in a down season, it's still what? Michigan. And I still remember Jadeveon Clowney breaks through that line, hits that, I'm going to call him, poor running back, knocks his helmet flying in the air, tackles him, makes him fumble, recovers the fumble, and the rest is history. But that replay, they showed it on the TV over and over and over again. Imagine how Jadeveon felt about that. Yeah! Over and over. And that's how it is when you watch sports sometimes. If it's a bad play, what do? Or for somebody a bad play, over and over and over and over. But I started thinking, eventually, that replay would not go away. In fact, if you're familiar with the ESPY Awards, he won that year ESPY for best play. How do you think that made him feel? He still probably sometimes will sit when he's feeling bad and watch that replay. But I'll tell you, somebody that won't watch that replay is a man by the name of Vincent Smith. Who is Vincent Smith, you say? He was the one that felt the pain of that hit. It was his helmet that came off. How do you think Vincent feels about that play? Who has offended you? And how many times has that offense lived on in repetition in your mind? Each time not getting better, but the wound expanding in infection rather than in the process of healing How do you stop an offense? Ask God to help you to stop the replays of the offense. Because we see this about love. God is so clear about what real love is. 1 Corinthians 13:5, love. It does not dishonor others. Jadavian Shakar said, please don't ever play that clip again. No, that's part of the game, right? It is not self-seeking. Let me get an award for me putting that hurt on that person. Again, I'm just making a point. He's fine. He can put it on his mantle. But for us, replaying it and feeling prideful about what we've suffered and endured to down that other person, the replay has one purpose. That purpose is to disdain someone, to not lift love above the offense. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to evaluate when bad stuff happens to us, no doubt. But we do not need that controlling who we become. The replays will fasten itself deep into our soul. But we see again, love, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Say that to a defensive person. What do you mean by that? Love is not easily angered. It's like this. The hurt comes. The natural response, the conditioning of who my personality is, my weaknesses are, am I going to let that be the responder? Or am I going to let the hurt come to this body and be evaluated by the living word of God before I open my mouth? The choice is ours. The choice is ours. If we're going to live Proverbs or not. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And then this, it keeps no record of wrongs. You know another way of saying that? It doesn't keep score. It doesn't look at a person and remember all the hits that you had. Now, understand what I'm saying. They're bad people. And we know that. Why? Because we can be bad people. There are people that we need to separate from and get away from. That's wisdom. But when we separate, what do we take with us? Consistency of the hurt and the wound? Or the fact that we did all that we can through the strength of God to try to make a bad relationship better? What have we done? Because, you know, I'm not going to be held accountable for what someone else does. Nope. I'm going to be held accountable for what I do. What I do. Not by what someone else did to me, what I do with what was done unto me. And God never set us up to fall. He put us in this place called earth, surrounded us with evidence of his existence. How do you live in this earth and not believe that God is real? As we open this service today with this passage from Psalm, we saw clearly the perspective that God has made or destined us to have, but we can reject it. God formed us and made us and has empowered us to have true love that overcomes whatever hate has come our way. We see this, it keeps no record of wrongs. It keeps no scores. That's a hard one, isn't it? Because we have a long memory. See? Reject love, trash your friendship. It's a simple way of stating that proverb. Reject love, throw someone out. You know, it's easy to trash stuff. Easy. Overlook an offense and bond a friendship. Fasten on to a slight and goodbye, friend. Fasten on to a slight. What does that mean again? Entertain the thought of the offense. Don't let it go, man. I remember years ago when we first started the church, I came out of a really difficult situation in Mobile, Alabama. It was tough. I mean, you talk about some hate in the house of God, or quote the house of God. It was hard. And I still remember, and I'll say his name. Hap Ely looked at me and said, when you going to get over it? I'm offended. But those words kind of, well, they did. They resonated in my spirit. When are you going to get over it? How rude of Hap to say that to me. No, it was really loving, because he saw within me something that was formulating a bitterness that was going to be a detriment, not a health. And God, over the years, when I think back in my days in Alabama, some of the most beautiful people in the world I met there, and some of the scariest people in the world I met there, God reminds me, forgive and strengthen what I've placed in you. Live in the offense, repetitive in your heart, and you will deepen the root of bitterness. Repetition deepens the root of bitterness. And you know this, church, what we hold on to, we become. There are a lot of people right now walking around with a lot of hate in their hearts, justifying it. Justifying it. We live in a time where our government wants to divide us by things that happened hundreds of years ago. They want to tear us up. Through what? The seed of bitterness. Are we going to let them? I refuse to let someone control me by putting the root of bitterness in my heart. I refuse to allow bitterness to be rooted in me and held on in me to change who God created me to be. What we hold on to, we become. When the offense, now this is amazing to me, and God has taught me this lesson, and I pray that I will apply it. When the offense comes to mind, which what? It's going to come to mind. You're human. The slights of the past are going to replay, they're going to come, but then you have the choice of what you're going to let be projected. You know the old DVR, or go back to the videotape, there's a stop button, right? The DVD player, there's a stop button, right? Even the DVR, there's a stop button, but there's also a skip back and replay. You can hit that button 10 seconds back and it'll come back. The choice, again, is in us, what we're going to allow the offense to produce. When the offense comes to mind, now listen close, let it be an opportunity to apply love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness. It's kind of like this. Someone has slighted you, and you think about it. You get two choices. Replay and get angry and get bitter, or let it be God just saying, this is your opportunity to forgive. This is your opportunity to pray for that person. No, it's my opportunity to think about what they did to me. This is my opportunity to hate them more. Been there? This is my opportunity to replay it and get frustrated about what happened. Or it is the alert to forgive, the alert to pray, the alert to lift up that person to God, that His mercy and grace will come upon them, that they will not form into what Satan wants them to be, but they will become what God has destined them to be. You hear that? Take something that is a tremendous negative in life that has caused people to be in the pit and turn it into an opportunity to be blessed. You see how God works? There's a reason why it's sensitive to your heart. Because what? Slights hurt. But let that sensitivity lead you to the actions of living Proverbs and not rejecting them. See, turn bitter thoughts into what? Forgiveness. It's possible. It really is possible because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You have the flesh that is in you as well. And the choice is who's going to manage the feelings that you have. Live Proverbs. Be calibrated daily by the Word of God. If we're living our days void of the reflection of the Word of God coming into our spirit, we're just setting ourselves up for a fall. Because the tuner is not where it should be. You know, that tuner will do no good if it's never put on that guitar. It'll just sit and miss its purpose. The Word of God, distant from our heart, will be easily, when I say this, will be forgotten. Not only will it be forgotten, it'll be changed. It will be molded by our limitations rather than a fresh renewal of His Word coming into our hearts every day. There is nothing that we can do in life that's more important than being in the presence of God and being in the presence of God with His Word open before us. Nothing. And if we have fashioned a life void of the encounters of God through His Word, we have established something that is of weakness, not of life. We see this. Lord Jesus, tune my heart to Your peace, O God. Aren't we tired of unsettledness? Aren't we tired of being molded by the bad news of the day? Let our hearts be tuned by the peace of God. Let our hearts be tuned by the calibrating of God's love entering in us. Not just a distant utopia, but a living reality in our lives. Let us be tuned. Tune my heart to Your wisdom, O God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Wash me by Your living Word. Now, as we conclude today's message, I want us to do exactly that. You, before the Word of God. You being washed by the Word of God. You being tuned and calibrated by the Word of God. Do we want that? Do we want that? Obstacle. I can't perceive it. Oh, yes, you can. For the counselor, the great teacher, the Holy Spirit has come to enlighten your understanding to the Word of God. He's your personal tutor. So in conclusion today, I'm going to read through four more Proverbs found in chapter 17. In the mindset of wisdom and relationships, and may God open his word to your heart, how his living word, his living proverbs can heal what the enemy meant to destroy. And you can, if you want to be in a mindset of prayer, but I just ask that we would prepare our hearts as his word comes to us. First of all, Lord, we ask that the counselor, the Holy Spirit, would illuminate how these words apply to our life. And we say all distractions move aside and let the hope of your word give understanding of how we can walk in wise relationships. The start, this is Proverbs 17:14. The start of a quarrel is like a leak in a dam. So stop it before it bursts. Verse 17 of Proverbs 17. Friends, love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble. I'm going to read that again. Friends, love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful deposit is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. And then lastly, Proverbs 17:27. The one who knows much says little. An understanding person remains calm. O Heavenly Father, live in your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.